Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
It's 7 o'clock. You're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. You know what that means. It's time for Here and Now with Rachel C. I'm your host, Rachel C. Joining me in the studio tonight is Andy Aronow of Women That Rock. We're going to be talking about that project, that platform, and we're going to, in honor of that, we're going to be featuring music from female and female-identifying fronted acts, and we're going to kick things off, of course, with the latest and the greatest from our friends Love Honey. This is Want It off of Dig This.
She's a good girl, knows what to do, stays out of trouble, broken bones, ain't got no moves. She's a fighter, stands real tall, knows the boundaries, ready to fall.
Was Want It from Love Honey. Did you catch their show at Orleans? Oh, if you didn't, that's okay. They're going to be back and you're going to hear more about that in the future here on Radio Free Brooklyn. Really looking forward to all that. So anyway, welcome to Here Now with Rachel C, where we celebrate live performance, culture, and activism in the arts. On that note, I'm going to tell you about things you can go out and see and do, because I want you to go out and do the thing. It's a live performance culture show. Okay, tonight, after Here and Now with Rachel C, of course, over at Gutter Bar, 200 North 14th Street in Brooklyn. Doors are at 8:30. Radiator King, Tough Sunshine, the Moto Gators, and Wire Troupe will be performing for your auditory pleasure on Sunday. I'll call it a storytelling event. No, we won't shut up. This is storytelling, personal journeys toward activism. I want you to check that out. It's the event pages, location, all that is online. That's on Facebook. Those are the two big things I wanted to tell you about. Our guest tonight, my guest tonight has a lot of things to tell you about. Very quickly, before I forget, you don't have to be at home to listen to us. I invite you to check out the RFB mobile apps. There's one for iPhone. There's one for Android. Take us with you while you're on the go. They're free. They sound really, really good, you guys. I'm not just saying that. So check out our apps at the Google Play Store and the iPhone App Store and all that fun stuff. Anyway, I'm here with Andy Arnau. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. So what's... Andy, you've kind of... From you're a fellow native New Yorker, and you've been involved in performance, I should say, most of your life, different aspects. You're here primarily to talk about Women That Rock. If you want to tell us a little bit about this format, I mean, it's something that is obviously promoting and supporting women in music. But if you want to maybe elaborate on in your own words, tell us what the purpose and the mission of the platform is.
Sure. So Women That Rock essentially is a platform, both digital and a live events platform, that's dedicated to supporting and promoting badass up-and-coming women in music. So we have sort of two arms of the platform. There's our digital platform, which mostly lives on Instagram, also on our website, womenthatrock.co. And on that website, we host essentially daily features. So we do a spotlight on one or two women a day, a new song that's coming out, just in general about their music career, their new album, a show, and we sort of spotlight them and share exciting news happening every day amongst badass women in music. So we're based here in New York, but we represent and support women all over the country and frankly all over the world too. So that's kind of what we do digitally. We also have a couple really cool partnerships in place that are in the literary magazine written sort of digital space. We have a partnership with Harness Magazine. We do a monthly article collaboration with them. And then we also have our live events arm. So about 1 to 3 times a month, we're hosting live events, concerts, showcases, parties, and the like. So far in the New York and Brooklyn area, but that's also going to be growing. We're doing our first out-of-state show in October, which is really exciting.
Where's that going to be?
That's going to be in Burlington, Vermont.
Ah, Burlington. Yeah. Nice little college arts down there.
Yeah, the scene there is kind of exploding in like the indie rock space. So we're actually working with this amazing band called Clever Girls, and doing a show with them in Burlington.
So you do, I know some of the spaces that you work with here locally, you'll put on shows, say, at Brooklyn Bazaar, for example.
Yep.
Which is, we were talking before the show, started out, it seemed like it's a nighttime pop-up market food kind of thing, but it happens to have like some cool live music there, and it seems to be much more of like, it's a live music thing where you can happen to shop and get some food.
They don't. The night market doesn't happen so much anymore. It's
really
mostly,
it's basically been drowned out by the music.
It's basically become a music venue, I think, first and foremost and primarily. And it's an amazing room. I mean, when I went to see a show there, and I was like blown away by the sound. And I approached the sound guy and was, you know, complimenting him. And when I thought of a space to have an event, it was one of the first places I thought of.
Where are some of the other locations that you do?
Locally? We did our inaugural showcase at the Knitting Factory, which was great. And they're awesome to work with, too. We've done an event at Coney Island Baby. We did a small sort of singer-songwriter showcase at Sidewalk Cafe, which is like such a throwback.
Yeah, well, but they're still like, they're a hub of singer-songwriter type acts.
I mean, yeah, you know,
anti-folk scene, going back to the anti-folk days, you know, yeah. It's like, but yeah, I mean, there's a home for that.
And it's sort of like walking into like a bit of a time warp, like you walk into the back of Sidewalk and you feel like you're in another time.
A little bit, which, in a good way.
Yeah, no, in a great way.
Not because the sound is that old or like, it's a little crusty. It's like, but
no, it's just a quintessential East Village spot.
It is.
You know?
It is. It's still there. Shout out to Sidewalk for still being there. no, really. Seriously.
We did an event at Coney Island Baby, which is also in the East Village. It's a brand new location, though, which is kind of cool to hit both targets. And we have an event coming up at El Cortez also in Bushwick here.
Right around the corner. Kind of a funky spot, like, because you wouldn't know going in that there is that room upstairs.
Right. And the safari room.
The safari. Yes. I always forget it's called the safari room. It kind of feels like you're on safari.
Well, there is a giant, like, petrified alligator on the wall.
I like totally missed that last time I was there, but that's because I was seeing Boss Hogg, and it's just like, who cares about the alligator? Boss Hogg.
Well, the room has to be pretty empty for you to notice the alligator.
It was like the opposite of an empty room. Anyway, so tell me a little bit about how this all got started, or maybe, you know, maybe the best way to tell me a little bit about how this kind of got started is tell me us a little bit about yourself. Or I can start by telling people a little bit about yourself. You got started. You were singing jingles as a child, and you were kind of you came up in the industry, but like more the commercial and kind of theatrical musical theater sort of side of things. And you told me earlier how, and then like went to college. After college, you became more involved with the production element, producing things, obviously building community and partnerships with different venues and putting on the shows and things. What made you kind of make that change?
Sure. So I was a child who really liked to perform in all ways. You know, I was putting on shows anywhere somebody would listen to me. And as I grew up, I don't exactly know why or what happened, but I liked performing less, and I liked thinking about the performing and working around the performing more. And I found my way to the Clive Davis Department of Recorded Music at Tisch at NYU. And that's where I did my undergrad. And that's a program that's designed for kids who want to work in the music industry, either as an artist, as an engineer, producer, or as a business person. Mm-hmm. And I always just was kind of driven towards the business side. I liked the idea of being a manager. I liked A&R. I liked even music law, which most artists absolutely hate.
I know that, but a really important field of law, especially, to be an attorney. I've met a few attorneys at Radio Free Brooklyn who do music law, and I think it's a really unique kind of personality to have, to be able to like really provide that service to artists, but be able to relate.
Totally. And so I felt always like I had the language to relate to artists because I had been, but I also kind of had the business acumen and the know-how to do it more from the industry side.
I find that fascinating because I know myself, the time I spent many years ago in front of the camera, I would have always and I did like independent film and stuff. My interest in production increased the more time I spent in front of the camera because I was watching what was going on behind. I was like, how does that work?
Yeah.
What is that? How does it? And I think it was kind of a natural thing to kind of want to understand how the whole thing works, even in theater. You know, you want to know about the stage management sort of aspect of it, lights and sound, because I really love this whole thing, but how do I make the whole thing work?
Right.
But the business side is it's interesting,
Well, the business of the music industry has been changing, drastically over the past 10 years.
We consume music very differently now.
Yes, we absolutely do. So I found a mentor at that department, Lauren Davis, who's actually Clive Davis's daughter.
Uh-huh.
And she became my mentor and my friend, and she taught entertainment law at the program and is also an entertainment attorney. And she and I just hit it off, and I liked her classes, and she ended up getting me my first job, my first sort of like real job out of school, which was at the Recording Academy. So I was working essentially for the Grammys, managing their Grammy U department, which essentially was like membership recruiting, event planning. And that was sort of like my first foray into the event planning space.
Right.
And it just kind of worked for me. And then I left that job and I worked at a couple of other different companies for a number of years and really just sort of started to find working for someone else pretty dry, like working for a corporation, working for a company where there was a whole big ladder of people that I had to answer to. Like, I just didn't want to be at a desk that way anymore.
Right.
I didn't want to be working under fluorescent lights.
I think that's a performer coming out a little bit too. It's like, I like the business side of things, but it's still like, it's supposed to be entertainment. And
it took me away from the music. Like, I felt like I was working in music, but I wasn't actually working in music,
Right.
I was like doing digital promotions and marketing, which is awesome. But it's not so awesome when you're not actually listening to anything.
Yeah.
Like,
I need to listen to what
you're just
promoting.
On calls, calls after calls. So I kind of, my girlfriend and I were sitting on the couch. I mean, a lot of people are surprised to hear this, but Women That Rock is only like 7 months old, which is crazy. but we were sitting on the couch about, 8 months ago. And we were talking about sort of the network of female musicians I know and me wanting to kind of do something on my own. And she was encouraging me to sort of strike out on my own and try something new. And we were kind of the idea of Women That Rock came to life and was birthed there between the two of us. And she was sort of like, do this, like, go take, you know, try something. And I had no idea if in 2 days I would just abandon it. Like, how I started was starting an Instagram account. I started the Women That Rock Instagram account. I reached out via text to all my girlfriends who are musicians and said, hey, this is something I'm starting. Are you cool with me featuring you? And they uniformly were like, absolutely, this is amazing. Do it, go. And I did a little bit of outreach, and within 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, I went from having 50 messages to 100 messages to 300 to it grew so fast.
It just kind of snowballed.
It totally snowballed, and it was really like the clearest call that I have ever witnessed.
You kind of stumbled. You came up with something. You and your girlfriend, you birthed this idea to get, but in a way, kind of stumbled upon something. I don't want to say
stumbled upon like, but the niche.
Yeah,
right.
I don't want to say stumbled upon because you did it. You made it. You guys made it. But it's like, yeah, that whole like, wow, there's this whole.
Well, and I saw it happening with I was sort of like part time managing a few bands at the time, and was just seeing a trend that artists and specifically female artists were like desperately looking for channels to get their message out there, and that, you know, the press is hard and management is hard and like breaking through the clutter is really hard. So I like the idea of creating a platform to help break through that clutter and be approachable and normal and not have it be a whole like fancy submission process through a form, you know, the way that a lot of like press outlets handle their things.
Yes.
And really have a dialogue with artists and a conversation. And even though we now have, you know, thousands upon thousands of submissions and emails and messages, like we really still try to keep that dialogue really.
And I think it seems less, it must, if I were an artist, like it must feel less overwhelming when, hey, I want to submit to Women That Rock. And that's what I see. That's what I encounter, as opposed to like fill out the form and maybe you'll be. We'll lower ourselves to listen to you. You know what I mean? It's just, I imagine that it's just so, it must be so overwhelming because you're a musician, you're trying to make music and you're trying to, a lot of times, earn your living doing something else during the day, and you're exhausted because you've got to go to practice now. You're trying to, maybe you've got a band with 4 other people, and if you're trying to herd in the stray cat, like, how do we get to get, you know, we're trying to find like the time to rehearse and, you know, when everyone's together and kind of keep the momentum going. It's so much, you know, you pour into your art to, and then you hit something like that, and it's must be like, you know, if I were an artist looking at what you're describing, it would feel like, okay, these people kind of get what it means to be an artist, as opposed to, you know, we're just kind of strictly business and, you know.
Right. I mean, we don't want to feel like a black hole.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when an artist reaches out to us, we do sort of equal work with them. They reach out, they send us a couple links, and then we do the work of kind of digging and looking and listening and delving into that. And we really build relationships with these artists, and there are artists that we sort of circle back with every couple months, like when they're, you know, there are so many artists that every time they come out with a single or every time they are doing something, they'll hit us up and say like, hey, this is happening. Like, can you help? Can you support? Like, and we have those ongoing relationships, and it's really on a very personal level. So it's not just all through sort of like emails.
One thing I'd like to get into some music. Of course, Andy and I have corresponded prior to coming on the air. We've never spoken before today. And we were kind of went through different artists we wanted to feature tonight. And one thing, I'm kind of jumping ahead a little bit in topic here, but you do work with artists, not just strictly in New York, but like actually internationally at this point. Because I want to play something from a band, and all these, I love the band names. Seriously. Hand Me Down.
Hand Me Down.
Not Hand Me Down, Hand Me Down. so I'm going to play something. They've got a track called Pizza Face. Do you want to tell us a little bit about Hand Me Down?
I mean, Hand Me Down is a queer artist, living out of Northampton, Massachusetts, who I stumbled upon on Instagram, and loved their music and was just like really gravitated towards it. And yeah, they're awesome and doing really cool things out of a really small community. And I'm just really hoping that they'll come play New York soon.
All right. Hand Me Down, come play in New York. This is Pizza Face on Here Now with Rachel C.
It's a sign. I'm a inclined. I'm not quite where I'm looking for.
Down with Pizza Face. As the band names and the song names. You're listening here now with Rachel C. on Radio Free Brooklyn. If you miss any of tonight's broadcast or you just want to hear the whole thing all over again, tune in Sunday at 9 a.m. Eastern. We'll be up on Podomatic next week. I'm here with Andy Arenow. So you run the Women That Rock platform. And so we were starting to touch on this a little bit, how this whole thing, you know, it's technically just this platform and It's only a few months old. It's like 4 or 5 months old.
Seven months old now.
Close. Sorry. It's okay. Close enough. Under 12 months old. Yeah. It just started, and it has grown exponentially in that time. Largely just using Instagram, largely using social media platforms, not Facebook, but like Instagram, which I love the irony of how a visual platform is helping a music,
yeah,
you know, a platform and service take off. So this may seem like, I think we've already started to answer this question a little bit in the first part of the broadcast, but so why do we need a platform like this that promotes female acts? Why do, like, I mean, clearly there is a need for it. You really stumbled upon something if the response has been what it's been.
Right.
But maybe we need to talk about, like, yeah, clearly there's a need for this sort of a platform. And also, so why? What's, I mean, it might seem like a rhetorical question. Maybe we could talk about why there's a need for this in this day and age. I keep hearing that.
Well, I mean, clearly the sort of sociopolitical moment is right. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, especially in New York, especially in sort of coastal urban places, right. There's a trend towards feminism. Right.
Right.
But feminism, as we know, is sort of just the belief that women and men should be equal.
Yes.
And in the music scene, that's not the case. You know, the playing field is not level. Right. So
right.
Most bills, most shows, most festivals are tremendously outnumbered by men. And not that, you know, men making music are in any way less amazing, but it doesn't feel like an equal space.
And if you're the only woman in a room on a bill with like four other acts, it might, you know, that I'd ask anybody maybe who's not a woman or doesn't identify as one, or I've had that experience, like, you know, imagine what that's like if you're the only one there, and you can kind of it can make, I know, because I've had the privilege of interviewing so many female musicians on my show, you want to be known as a musician, not necessarily the lady musician.
Right.
Or you can apply that to any performing arts like medium. I don't want to be the funny lady. I'm the comic.
Right.
I'm the writer. I'm not just the lady, you know.
Or being evaluated sort of more based on your looks than
right.
on your talent.
And so in a sense, it's almost, I find it interesting that you need a female, for lack of a better way of describing it, a female centric or you need to, that kind of service that you're providing in order to help women be seen not just by their gender.
Right. Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Well, a lot of the girls who play on our bills are always telling me that they love playing Women That Rock shows because they're not the only girl on the bill. They're not the only woman on the bill. So it's kind of like a home for those bands to really play together, support one another, and not even have to think about being the minority. Just, you know, it's home. It's a comfortable space.
Right. And there is a little bit of sexism in the industry. I mean, I've heard bands come on talk about how, like, when we talk about microaggressions, it's not major, like, flat out someone getting in your face and saying, you can't play, your girl. It's a series of little things that kind of add up and accumulate to your stress. Like, you know, people assuming you can't load in your own equipment.
or set up
or know how to tune your own instrument or things like that. And we can go through this a couple of nights a week.
Yeah.
You know, 52 weeks out of the year,
right.
and that's the kind of thing that builds up. And so I think clearly you and your girlfriend didn't stumble onto this. You kind of birthed this idea, but you kind of stumbled into, in a way, this, you've created a platform where there was this huge need. I think the universe might have been calling you guys a little bit. What I'm very impressed by, and I think this, I'm impressed at the level that, again, under 12 months in, that you're able to provide these platforms, that you are working with people internationally, you know, in just a few months, and making a lot of really great things happen. I got to say, just speaking with you, I imagine your educational background, the academic background, and the professional connections you made and your vast work experience. Do you think it helped that you kind of did all of that first and had worked kind of in the industry and kind of done this as professionally for a few years before launching this made a difference? Whereas, because there are other, collectives, even little services, platforms, collectives that try to, you know, work with female artists, but it seems like they're a little smaller in scale. I don't want to say they're not as effective, but they're just, it's not as big. I mean, they get things done, but it seems like you're doing a lot more, much more quickly. Do you think that has to do with the fact that you did this for several years and then launched this?
Yeah. I mean, what I would say is, like, I kind of noodled around the music business for like, I don't know, a decade or a decade and a half, working in different sort of little areas like radio promotion and then marketing and then digital marketing and then social media and then management. You know, I sort of like tried on lots of different hats and was able to gain enough experience in each of those areas. Like, I always knew I wanted to work in the music business. I didn't really know exactly where I would land. I knew I wanted to be with artists and be close to artists and working with them. I also knew I really liked putting on events and was organized in that way. Like, Women That Rock sort of just became like this amalgam of all of the different things I had already done. And so I was sort of set up for success that way because I'd already done it professionally in so many of those areas. So once the idea came about, like, I already knew how to do social media for artists. I already knew how to sort of market and get the word out there and speak to people in the industry and approach people at labels and people at press outlets and people at venues. Like, I already sort of had that under my belt. So absolutely.
Great, great. So on that note, I want to get into a little bit more music because we're talking about music. We could like talk all night. So we're going to kick off a little music block here. We've got something with an act that you have worked with, Monty.
Yes.
So can you want to tell us a little bit about Monty?
Yeah. So Monty is the new project of the singer-songwriter and amazing guitarist, Caitlin Montclair. And they just released their debut single. It's called Bitch, which is awesome. And their live shows are insane. They played at our inaugural Knitting Factory Showcase and also recently at Brooklyn Bazaar with us. And it's just a killer show, and that really translates into their recorded material too. And the full EP for them is coming out this fall, which is really exciting.
Okay, looking forward to that. So we're going to kick things off with Bitch from Monty, and then we will flow into our friend Shark Muffin and a little something from I Am the Polish Army. You're listening to Here and Now with Rachel C on Radio Free Brooklyn. Hey, real quick. We are a 501c3. Please support us. I'll keep this thing rocking and rolling. Get your write-offs on. Flirt with the donate button on the webpage. We appreciate it. Or if you do you shop Amazon Prime, sign up for Smile. You can do it that way. Or buy a t-shirt. Okay, you guys, let's kick things off here. This is Monty with Bitch.
I figure while you can't contain it, don't wanna hear your explanation. We've had our better days, most men in a foggy haze. I wake up every single day, never waits my time to pray for no more dreaded fights with you. Call me a bitch, I guess it's true. If you see me tonight, I will be the bitch you like. Our harmonies that sang so sweet off flat notes. Now at our feet, you were my woman, my muse. Now you mailed that world news. As much as I would love to lie, break you down and make you cry. Rather watch you die alone and not have one to call your own. If you see me tonight, I will be the bitch you like. And if you see me, I'll lie. And I'll tell you. You lie, and I'll tell you where
heard me far queen, but that dog was fighting too rough and too mean.
Back. You just had a little lady rock block or rock block, because that's the goal. You're listening to Here Now with Rachel C on Radio Free Brooklyn. I'm here in the studio with Andy Arenow with Women That Rock. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for doing what you're doing, Andy, because it seems like you're really, it's not so much, you found the niche, but you're really fulfilling a need and really, I'm hearing building community, not just like making connections and making things happen for people, but I'm hearing a lot of like community building stuff.
Well, thank you for what you're doing. We all have to work together.
Yes, we do. So one thing I do want to touch upon, and after this, we're going to get into making sure we plug all the cool stuff that's going on with you and with Women That Rock. So we talked about how, you know, this is, you're promoting female fronted acts or female artists in the music industry. We talked about like why we need that.
Well, also female identifying.
Yes, we're just about to get into that. But this is inclusive. So female identifying, making sure that people, queer women are, or queer identifying, female identifying people are represented here. Can we talk a little bit about for that need for inclusivity? And also, there are still some walls within the community. There's some butting of heads within the community a little bit sometimes. Right. Not always. I think people are usually pretty, if you've ever been on the receiving end of, mistreatment or unfair treatment or, anything of the like, hopefully you're a little bit more compassionate with other people, you're a little bit more open-hearted with people,
right,
open-minded, but there's still, and I think there is some tension and sometimes amongst
women and people identifying as women in the community, like, you know, do you see within the community more acceptance now? Or can we talk about why there's a need to make sure we are inclusive and careful with, even careful with our words and our language? And
yeah. So, I mean, I can say a few things. I can speak to that in a few ways. First and foremost, I think we're taught as women that other women are a threat. Mm-hmm. Like, we're often just kind of in the culture. Women are more competitive with one another.
Yes, and I think that's encouraged.
And I think that crosses, you know, lines of race and gender and sexuality and identification, you know, and religion. All of the groups, I think women often feel they have to sort of compete with other women to be prettier or better or in some way stand out more. And so what we're really trying to do is create these safe spaces where all different kinds of women in all different walks of life can come together and really support one another. And, you know, a lot of people comment that when they come to our shows, there's just like a really good energy. We always make sure to include on our bills, not just one, but usually the majority of the bill has women of color and LGBTQ women. So we're really making an effort to sort of create a community that not only spotlights those people, but also brings them all together in a really nice, cohesive way. So, you know, I don't really like to think about it as like a fractured community. I like to think about it as everyone can be together.
I think we're less fractured than some might like to portray it.
Yeah.
And I think that's also that's part of the encouraging the competitiveness, the unhealthy competitiveness.
Yeah. And if you create a room that's, you know, accepting of people and happy and welcoming and fun, like, no one's thinking about there being a competitive spirit. Like, and I think that comes from us as sort of the Women That Rock leaders to set that tone and make it clear that, like, everyone is welcome and everyone is accepted, and, like, we're not here to fight with one another. We're
Not my or anyone's role to tell you if you're female or not. That's the kind of how I look at it, you know. I think, like, that anyone who ever, and I'm, you know, I try with this show to kind of create a safe space, and, like, we have, like, I kind of let people do what they want to do, but we, you know, we don't punch down and we don't jump on anybody's, like, how they identify in terms of their gender or their use of pronouns or anything like that. And I think there needs to be a little bit more of that. I think we're starting to, we were just getting somewhere culturally and as a society, we're like, okay, we accept that, you know, not everyone fits the binary and that. And there's been, like, this backlash, and a lot of it has to do with a lot of things happening politically and socially. And I think it's a huge form of, like, resistance with joy when you create spaces like that.
Yeah.
That you're doing. That is a form of activism when you create a safe space for people where they can just be themselves.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's an opportunity to promote, to do what they do and share their art in that way. I think that in a way that is a form of using the arts for activism.
Absolutely.
In a really great way. I want to talk also, because we have more Rock Blocks coming. I want to talk a little bit about some of the shows that you're doing. We've got the digital arm of what you're doing. Follow the Instagram people. It's really awesome. And, you know, like Andy said, they feature like an act a day, and, you know, they'll it's a visual thing, but you can get to a lot of music that way, because, you know, you'll tag the artist and you go to that artist's page and they've got all the links to all the music. It's really great. And then you've got, like, kind of the live events arm of things.
Mm-hmm.
1 to 3 events a month. It's still pretty busy, so let's talk about some of the events. That's
a
lot. Okay. Yeah. I just helped with this with a live event last week. It's a lot. So what are some of the events coming up you want to make sure people know about?
Sure. So we're sponsoring an event, a show of this band, North by North. They're from Chicago. They're touring they're touring through New York, and we're supporting a show of theirs at Knitting Factory on August 24th. Monty will also be playing that show, as will Gustav and the Manimals. A bunch of really great bands are going to be on the bill that night. So that's Knitting Factory on August 24th. Then the next sort of big show to mention is September 28th at El Cortez. This amazing, like, sort of grungy surf rock band called Planet What. They're from Tulsa, and they're doing a whole tour, and they're stopping in New York, and they approached us about doing a collaboration. So we're doing a Women That Rock Presents show at El Cortez. With Planet What. Also, Groupie is playing that show, and Quam and Lola Pistola. So a lot of really amazing bands that night. And right here around the corner in Bushwick.
That's on a Friday. Hey, yeah. My show's the night before. We might just have to have some friends on them to promote this show if
heck
people
yeah.
are in town.
That'd be awesome.
Great. Yeah, I love it. Women That Rock present show
yeah.
Over at El Cortez, right around the corner. Real fun venue. Check it out. See if you can spot the alligator through the crowd.
You can. You'll be able to spot.
So, tell me a little bit about building these connections, like from like a band in Tulsa versus. I mean, we've kind of talked. Can we talk a little bit about like how that, like the actual, like really, like how that actually happens?
Did sure.
Because I think for people who are kind of trying to do for the community, like what you're doing on a more DIY or smaller, you know, starting a little smaller. Like, how do you make those connections and make them work, too? That's the other thing.
Yeah.
It's easy to find people. Hey, you're another woman in the music business. You've got a band like I do. We are now connected, like, say, through social media. But how do you make it go somewhere
yeah.
from there?
Well, because we're more of a promoter than a band, we have the advantage of being able to sort of pitch bills to venues in a way that's a little different than just being in a band and being like, oh, you know, can I play at your venue? It's kind of like, can we take over your venue for this night, put together this awesome bill, bring in sponsors, bring in partners, really blow it out and make it exciting. And, you know, we have a lot of bands at this point who either want us to come to their city and put on a show, which is sort of in the works. We're hoping to do a show soon in LA and a show soon in London. I have a whole list of London bands that I like, I'm dying to work with, especially in like the punk, indie punk scene. And in terms of Planet What specifically, they reached out to us on Instagram, saying basically, hey, we're touring through New York. Like, we have a couple of leads on things, but don't have a venue. Don't really know, like, you know, do you have any ideas? Because I guess mm-hmm. they knew that we were friends of their friends, Boy
right.
Toy. There's a band called Boy uh-huh. Toy. I don't know if you know them. And they're like, we've toured with Boy Toy. They're out of town, though, while we're going to be in New York. Wondering if you have any recommendations or ideas. And, you know, I basically was like, I can do you one better. How about we partner with you and help you put on this show? So I've been working with the girls
that's
from Planet
great.
What to help them. I booked the venue. We together sort of reached out to and solidified the rest of the lineup. And so it's cool. It's a way for us to have a really cool touring band be on a bill with us here, and a way for us to help them kind of get into the New York scene and be able to sort of just trust that it's going to go well.
Because for listeners who may not be aware, things are different in each city and at each venue. But a lot of times it seems more and more common here in Brooklyn. You know, you've got to sometimes it's tough if you're in a band, because you don't just kind of go to the venue yourself. You have to put together an entire bill.
Yeah.
That's not uncommon. And so having like someone like Andy who can help pull that together and kind of make it really unique with all these different connections, you know, hey, you're not, it's nice when you can play a room with people, you know,
right.
But hey, you'll meet somebody new, or you'll, you know, you make that other new connection because somebody like Andy comes along and says, wait, no, I know the band from Tulsa coming in and we can do that. It's tough. That's even more work that bands have to do, here in New York. You know, I talked to a lot of artists coming through my show, and you know that New York is. I always ask, like, to compare, contrast New York and other cities, or big cities versus other, you know, just different places they've been. And it's part of what makes New York challenging and beautiful in ways. But there's so much that you have to do yourself. You don't just kind of, you know, say, okay, I got booked this night at this event venue. You've got to go to a venue with a whole bill lined up and.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a lot.
And putting together a tour is hugely a lot of work.
Like, just multiply that by 1,000
right.
to do a tour.
Right. you know, Planet What's, you know, two girls in Tulsa, and they're trying to book a whole tour. And they put together a really impressive schedule of shows. They're doing, like, I don't know, 20 to 25 show dates. And anything we can do to sort of step in and help, and at the same time make it, like, a fun. I mean, that's the goal. It's like, live music should be fun. We try to do things at our shows to make it more than just a show. We often have something like a female vendors night market
mm-hmm.
where people can also be shopping. We do signature drinks. We decorate the room. We often bring in food and beverage sponsors. Like, we do things to make it more like a party. So it's
right.
not just like another night at another venue at
right.
another show.
And that's the way to stand out. And I think that's a really nice touch that you had. Anything you'd like to... What didn't we cover today? I could just, like, keep talking to you for another hour. This is great. We'll go get drinks. It'll be fun. Once again, if you missed any of tonight's broadcast, want to catch it all over again Sunday morning at 9 a.m. We're winding things down now. Please stay tuned for Frequency Theory with Tom Tenney. Is there anything you want to add, Andy? What did we miss?
I mean, you know, just thanks for everyone listening. Thanks for everyone supporting women in music out there with us. We'd love to hear from you. And definitely, I would say just follow Women That Rock on Instagram, mm-hmm. because that's really the best place to stay current on the events we're having, as well as the features and the parties we're throwing and kind of everything that's happening
right.
with us.
And womenthatrock.co. Is there a mailing list, or is that kind of
yes.
in the work? There is a mailing
there
list.
There is a mailing list, yes. And, you know, you can either sign up for that on our website, or also our email address is thewomenthatrock@gmail.com. So anyone can email us with artist recommendations or inquiries, partnerships, questions, reach out.
And they're nice, everybody, ladies. So female fronted, female identifying, wherever you are in the spectrum, you can reach out to Women That Rock. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
And for doing what you're doing. We're going to close things off. We've got two songs lined up. One from another, actually working with Hands Off Gretel.
Yes.
Hands Off Gretel. I love the band names, all of them. This is My Toy. And of course, we'll close out with, you can't have a show about women in rock without Tamar Kali. So thank you everyone for listening. Up next week, Sal Cataldi's back on the program. He's got a special show for a special cause to tell you about. Thanks for listening. See you next week.
solid.